So as you receive this anointing, get ready for promotion. And you know, I'm just excited. It was one of our fathers in the Lord. So we're together on Monday. And so he brought the bottle of oil and he shared with me. Listen, these are prophetic things. If you don't believe in it, it's all right. You know, there are some who don't believe in the anointing. They don't believe in oil. So it's all right. It's a doctrinal thing. So if you don't believe, you know, it's all right. It's all right. But if you believe, you partake of it, your faith work for you. Are we together? So he brought this oil. And you know, there are specific reasons behind everything. So he said to me that the oil, you know, when you know that oil will come, he said the Lord called it for them the oil of David. I say oil of David. I'm hearing that for the first time. Oil of David. And of course, I quickly relate that to how David was anointed. How many times, please? 3 times. Are you getting me? 3 times. And each anointing comes with his own challenge. Are we together? So, when you get this anointing and then you see Goliath, don't run away. He's still part of the anointing. He's a part of the process to walk the anointing and then bring you to a level of promotion. You know, it was after David fought Goliath with the anointing he has received, that was when he found himself in the palace. Are you getting me? Then the next anointing made him king over Judah. Then the next anointing, you know, makes him king over Israel. Are you getting me? So, every anointing comes for a purpose, and there are battles that will come with it. In other words, every development comes with a challenge. If you ask all our mothers here who have babies, you know, if I may ask you as a mother, have you ever find yourself telling your child that you love? Hello, mothers, talk to me. Have you find yourself said that? But do you mean when you were asking and begging God for that child, are you asking for wala? But because of the challenge that blessing has brought, you didn't know when you made that statement. And if you are sensitive as a mother, you say, oh, God, I didn't mean this child is wala. Are you getting me? So, but the point is, every development comes with a challenge. For example, if there's going to be a development in this environment now, then it will come with some demolition. Some people will lament, they will do a lot of argument and fight and whatever. But at the end of the day, everybody will benefit from that development. So this anointing, get ready, is for promotion. But the promotion is not automatic. You have to take responsibility. If you are writing, write this thing. Take note of this thing. It's anointing for promotion. But if you are going to walk, you must walk it, because it comes with a responsibility. Every anointing comes with a responsibility. Every anointing is for a purpose, but it comes with a responsibility. So this anointing is for promotion, but it comes with a responsibility. And don't forget, we are looking at
a teaching
when one guy from the East, he was copying what I was writing. So he copied my name. And I remember Uche. There's one guy, when we were in secondary school, his name is Uche. These guys, he's from East also. Thank God for our East brother. My friend, if all you know to do is business, okay, go do your business. Praise God. Uche, when we were in secondary school, Uche will not get to school until something to 9 or after 9. When everybody, we've almost finished first session. Is it first session or first period? Thank you. That's when this guy will, and we'll ask him after you are, oh, guy, where are you coming from? He said, you know, now I have to go and set things up for my brother for shop. And the guy, everything they are teaching, he no go enter. Probably his mind is in shop or at shop. And when it is time for exam, Uche no know anything. If you tell Uche, hello, the answer is, take for example, you want to tell him the definition of photosynthesis. And you are saying, photosynthesis is the process of, then he will ask you, what is the, what do you call it? The spelling of photosynthesis. He will ask you for the spelling of photosynthesis. Excuse me, how do you have such a guy? Praise God. What are we saying? Once the foundation is not there, whatever is built on it can never stand. So if these basic doctrines of Christ is found wanting, then no wonder we're having a lot of argument in the body of Christ. And little wonder our house is divided against itself. You know why? We don't know what is basic. We don't know what is basic, so we continue to argue. Today, what we take to be church is all these lights, is all the musical instruments. A church that doesn't, in fact, I was telling a brother of mine who is also a pastor, I said, this generation is much more difficult to start whatever God wants you to do, especially church work. Because if you are not careful, you will succumb to the spirit of competition all around. You will succumb. I remember when we started. We didn't start with all these things you are seeing, even though this is not where we are going. When we were at where did we have that conference? Camp David. So, was it you I was telling? I said, this is my vision of a church, a garden church. And wait for it. If the Lord tarry, we are going to get there. A very beautiful church. It's going to be beautiful. I'm telling you, it's going to be a beautiful church. It's going to be a garden church. But you know what? It's still a vision. We are going to get there. But thank God for where we are today. We didn't start here. In fact, in those days when we were here, if you know, it used to be an open heaven church when we got there. If you don't know, I'm telling you, it used to be an open heaven church. And then we used to have all manners of wind. You know, God have all manners of wind. We have the east wind, we have the west wind. So in this house, it used to be a house of all manners of wind. I remember one day we were in service and it was blowing. The wind was blowing. We have to start running after the chair so that the thing will not tumble down. I'm telling you. But you know what? Up till now, God is still calling people. And he can call people to anywhere and to start from anywhere. But the point I'm making is, if this basic knowledge is not there, somebody might think you have to start doing what others are doing. You have to do it the way others are doing it. So that is why we are talking about these basic doctrines, which are, number one, repentance or salvation. Number two, faith. Please write this thing down. They are basic. Number three, baptism. And when we get there, we will talk of all manners of baptism, including baptism of suffering. Many church people don't know that there is a baptism called baptism of suffering. Then there is the laying of hands, is a doctrine. Then there is the doctrine of resurrection. And finally, eternal judgment. And listen, I remember when we started this teaching, I decided to start from the last, which is eternal judgment. That for you to know that eternal judgment is real, ask yourself, why did government of every nation have a place called prison? Then ask yourself, is prison for good people? Is it meant for good people? No, even though good people might find themselves there by error of omission or commission, are you getting me? But when prison was established and created, it is not for good people. It is for bad people, the wicked in the society, that the government think if this one remains in society, it will cause more harm. Are you getting me? So they take them and say, this is your house, temporarily, and for some, permanently. Life sentence. Some, they will say, okay, death by hanging. Are you getting me? Once somebody is suspected, they say, your house now is what? The prison. So if governments of nations, we have prison for the wicked to separate them, then my friend, hell is real. Just take it as simple as that. Hell is real. There will be eternal judgment. The last day will come, where the sheep and the goat will be separated. So therefore, we have to go back to the issue of repentance or salvation. It must not be assumed. Am I born again or not? Am I saved or not? Now, another reason for church is that once a man is saved, then you are brought into a family for growth. That is the essence of church. It's a place for growth, to nurture every child of God to maturity, to what God has for you. You will agree with me that every man made, they were raised from a family. Yes or no? That is the essence of the church. So as we look in this direction further, and today I'm not going to take time on this subject. It's a series. We'll continue. So why we want to talk about anointing for promotion? Let's look at this man, David. We are talking of the oil of David. The kind of oil that came on David and separated him among his equal, even among his brothers, and set him up for promotion. Amen. So let's look at it. 1 Samuel 16. So from verse 1, we saw how God rejected Saul. So God can reject the anointed. Was Saul anointed? Yes. But did God reject him? Yes. Why? He disobeyed God. He became a rebel. Take note of that. God can reject his anointed, even as we talk of anointing for promotion today. Our anchor scripture from this point, Psalm 75, verse 6, verse 7. Talking about the fact that promotion comes from God. And as this promotion comes from God, we realize that God is the judge who determines who is to be promoted and the one to be demoted. God is the judge. Then what we find out is that whatever God wants to do, he always raise a man. Are we together, please? He always raise a man. He always look for a man that is qualified to do his agenda. In other words, whatever God wants to do, he doesn't do alone. He look for a man to do it. So the question is, whoever God will choose for what he wants to do must be qualified. And whoever is qualified, God will anoint. So the anointing of God is not for the generality. It's for the chosen. It's for the qualified. Again, the anointing is always for a purpose. When we talk about anointing for promotion, it's always for a purpose. Now, whenever God finds out that the anointed is already derailed from the purpose, and the anointed has made himself greater than the one who anointed him, then God will have no choice than to look for another vessel. Listen, the anointing does not make the anointed indispensable. The anointing does not make the anointed indispensable. God has several vessels. So, in the course of God looking for a replacement for his anointed, can I pray for you? May you not be replaced by God. So, what was God looking for? So, he looked for another king material among the sun. So, when you hear among the sun, the first thing that should come to your mind is salvation. Is salvation. It's only from among the saved God raised the anointed. So, if you have not been saved, forget about the issue of anointing. No matter how many oil pours on you, it's just a oil. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't. But once the basic is there, the anointing, I mean, the issue of salvation is intact, then whatever God wants to do will be made perfect. So now God was looking for a king material among the sons of Jesse, but then everybody is safe. But here we find out that God again is looking at the state of the heart. Even though all are saved, but are all genuinely repented? This is a serious matter. You remember Nicodemus? I think we started from the story of Nicodemus. You still remember? John chapter 3. This man is a teacher of the law. Praise God. This man, according to the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, is fasting at least twice a week. Amen. He's a teacher of the law. In other words, he's a pastor. He gives his tithe, he gives his offering, he gives alms. He knows all this religion thing. But it was shocking that when he was talking to Jesus, we know you are a teacher. Please look at me. No, don't be distracted. He said, we know you are a teacher from God. We know you do all these signs and wonder. We know God is with you. And he was saying all of that. The next thing, Jesus, and you know, you will now ask, why did he come to Jesus by night? Maybe he want to know more, because he knew he's a teacher from God. Maybe he want to know more. Then now, maybe now he didn't want the Pharisees to know that he's going to Jesus. But for him to come to Jesus, I believe one of the reasons must be that he wants to know more. Right? So he was saying that we know you are a teacher. It's one of the reasons why I came secretly. I want to know more. But was it not shocking, the statement Jesus made? Nicodemus, I say unto you, verily, verily, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So in other words, what was he telling Nicodemus? Oga, check your salvation. So how will you feel if God decided to send somebody to a pastor and is telling the pastor, sir, you need to be born again? Or to a deacon in the church, or to a somebody with a high rank in the church, and then God send his vessel and say, check your salvation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot. Or the first verse of, sir, the way you are living your life, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Do you know what Jesus was trying to say there? Is the same reason why God have to tell Prophet Samuel that, come on, don't look at Eliab, I've not chosen him. Don't look at Shammah, don't look at all of the brothers, I've not chosen them. Yes, outwardly they are sons. Outwardly they have the kingly physique. But I check their hearts. They are not qualified. So I can tell you that when we talk about salvation, it is from within to without. It is from within to without. And because it is from within, it will manifest without. All this, it doesn't matter. Only God knows that I am born again. Oh God, check it. It is from within to without. Okay, so eventually, David came and God said, this is he, anoint him. So God told Prophet Samuel, I look at the heart. So when it comes to salvation and when it comes to my anointing, heart matters. It's a matter of the heart. So that is what we are addressing, men and brethren. That is what God is set to address. Check your heart. No matter how long you've been saved, how long you've been in church, check your heart. Is your heart right? I think we stopped at a point last week. Let's pick it up from there. When we talk about fundamental truth about repentance and Christianity, let me quickly run over the last, I think about 5-6 points we have mentioned, and I'm called to the point for today. Number one, we said God's kingdom is first about repentance. God's kingdom is first about repentance. Number two, call for repentance is a sign of God's love. Number three, repentance leads to heavenly joy. Number four, repentance leads to life or salvation. So that's why when we talk about salvation, we talk about repentance. When we talk about repentance, we talk about salvation. Number five, repentance leads to knowledge of the truth. It will keep leading you from truth to truth to truth to truth. So, and I was saying that the reason why we are fighting the truth of the scripture is that the basic is not there. The foundation, the salvation foundation is not there. That's why somebody will still argue about 10%. What is 10%? Oga, ask yourself. If God did not bless you with sound health, will you be able to do that work? Of course, I know some people will argue there is no God. But ask yourself again. How did you become who you are today? Was it not by a birth, which is sexual reproduction? Amen? Am I correct? Human being give birth. Animal give birth by sexual reproduction. I think there is a kind of animal that when they want to give birth, they give birth by mouth. There are now. Amen. Tree give birth by sexual reproduction. Are we together? Then if human being give birth to human being and then we were born, tree give birth to tree and then there is another tree, then how come you are now saying that God cannot, God who created heaven and earth does not give birth to people? He give birth spiritually. He give birth by his word. Amen. God give birth by word. Please tell your neighbor, God give birth. And he gives birth by his word. It is by his word. Somebody will hear the word of God. Then there will be a conviction by the Holy Spirit in their heart. And then they will surrender all. And then that's salvation. So God give birth. God give birth. So, and then once a man is born into the knowledge of truth, then the truth will continue. Are you getting me? Then you will have some truth that are general to the entire body. Amen. Then you will have some truth that are specific to you. Specific to you. So there are general truth, there are specific truth. Now, if somebody is not a leader of people, you don't generalize the specific. Don't. As a parent, we do it. What is specific to you, you try to bring in your children to it. But of course, as time goes on, they find their own truth. They find their own truth. In the body of Christ, we call it tradition. Please don't fall for tradition. Once, and you see, it is only truth that will deliver you from tradition. Please take note of all these things. There are many of us, what is affecting us today is the tradition we are holding on to. The moment God help you, you are able to find your own specific truth. You are on your way to the top. Praise God. So knowledge of repentance will lead you to truth. And the truth will be a continuous one. You go from truth to truth to truth to truth. What do I mean? The word will keep leading you. Scripture says, as many that are led by the Spirit of God. Who are they, please? The sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Those who are born into the family of God by the word and the Spirit, the water and the Spirit. Are you getting me? So, that truth of salvation, we keep leading them. No, you can't do that. Others may do it. You cannot do it. Praise God. It's truth. Listen, truth, if you don't know, let me tell you. Truth will tell you the kind of job you should do. Hello? Do you know that it takes truth to marry correctly? Hello? You didn't hear that. Do I need to repeat that? Truth, it will take truth not to miss it in marriage. Some of us, when we marry, we don't look serious. I was telling our brethren this morning during the pre-service prayer that I stumbled on the video of Pastor Paul Eneche when he was saying that when he got married as a doctor, all he had was everything in his bag. Everything. Because in the quarters they were living as a doctor, government owes everything. The furniture, the everything, it belongs to the government. So everything he had was everything in his bag. It doesn't look promising. Abi, can you marry a man that you will ask, Oga, where is your house? Oga, where is your furniture?
Where is your? Of course, in the church today, we do all of that. Oh, before you marry, church committee. Oh, yeah, go and check the house of the brother. May God deliver the church committee. You don't say amen for the church committee. Marriage committee. Go and check the house. How much is in his bank account? Can he feed himself before he now bring another woman to? We do all of that. Criteria, right? And if God did not help the brother, that he has fat account, that he has furniture, that he has this, but he has that. Then they say he can't marry. Then they will say, even though we know all of your revelation, they are genuine. But God, you don't have money. You don't have house. You don't have this. You don't have that. Have you also stumbled on this testimony of Evangelist Maibamiloye? That the foundation of their marriage is on conviction of the Holy Spirit and the hope of tomorrow, not on riches. In fact, according to one movie that they did like that, was it Train or what's the title of that movie? The sister, the only sister of Maibamiloye, Evangelist Maibamiloye. So, how many of you have watched that movie? The sister went to the Auntie Bamiloye, Auntie Gloria. Don't marry him, oh, he's not serious. He can't feed himself. Now he wants to bring you into. No, don't marry him, oh. But thank God for conviction. The sister was able to say, well, whatever we find, we will eat together. We were in need together. What am I saying? Truth. Truth. It will take truth to marry correctly. It will take truth to know exactly what God wants you to do for living and to rise. A lot of children of God today, they are jumping from work to work, jumping from one issue to the other, just because they don't know exactly what God will have them do. They know, some know, but they find it difficult to just say, Lord, I know, but and I also know you can help me. Can I encourage you, once you have the foundation of the salvation, let that help you. I believe, Shebi, when you got saved, did you see that Jesus physically? Is it not the word you had and you believe and you are following? Then let that same conviction help you to say, Lord, I know you are the one who has spoken. I believe this word. Is somebody being helped today? I believe this word. I believe you. I may not see rain. I may not see wind. But you have spoken. I know all will be well with me. Let's move forward. So we talk about the next point, which is salvation can be lost. Can be lost. Revelation chapter 2 verse 5. Revelation chapter 3 verse 3. It can be lost. It can. So you must. It's not once saved forever saved. Forget nothing like that. Oh. If you are saved, keep your salvation. Oh. Keep dying daily. Oh. So that is why one of the things that we keep your salvation, they are the same thing you have been doing before. You are reading your Bible. Abi, keep reading. In fact, some of us, we were so disciplined in those days that you will not eat until you have read your Bible. How many of you had that kind of conviction when you were growing up? Thank you. That is what brought you into it and kept you. So if you will remain kept and you will not lose that salvation, continue in it. You were mindful of your relationship. Please be mindful of your relationship. You know, there is a way God will bless a man and you will want to change your class. Actually, promotion changes a man's class. Hello? Promotion changes a man's class. But you see, one class you must refuse to change
is the class of God. Don't change it. Don't change it. Don't be too busy to go and meet God. He's always waiting. Never, please, never get to a promotion, a level where you will think your relationship with God is no longer necessary. Can I also say this? Or let me counsel. Time used in prayer is a time well invested. It is not a waste. No, so never be too busy to pray. Never be too busy to fast. Can I also tell you, there is a level of blessing somebody will have that you will never pray for what to eat again. Can I pray for you? May God bring you to a level of comfort where what to eat will no longer be a prayer point. There is a level. Cloth. There is a level. I had the story of a woman many years ago. Built a house in her hometown. And while she built that house, they furnished everything. Everything. Including cloth in the wardrobe. Everything brand new. As they were furnishing the house, they were furnishing the wardrobe. It's a level of comfort. You will get there. But you see, it is better before blessing come, salvation is already solidified. So that when the blessing come, nothing changes. Nothing. Nothing. Money change people. Money change people. But I pray for you. When God bring money to your hand, may that money become a servant to you. Do you understand that prayer point? That when money come to your hand, may you not become servant to that money. And then the money say, no, go this way. No. Let's move forward. You know, it is only when salvation is questionable. That's why when resources come, then you will see issues in the life of people. That is when some men will remember they want to marry another wife. It's not his fault, it's money. Ah, money changes people. Hey, money changes people. That is when the man will remember the fault of his wife. Now I remember the day I didn't have money. You used to abuse me when you are serving me. Now money has come. I want to show myself. You see, money has a way of showing true identity of people. You will see pride. And at that moment, people will start saying, oh, it's because he has money. The fundamental problem is what, please? Salvation. Did you get that? He says, salvation is the problem. What is money? It's just a currency. It's just a resources. Let's run, please. So let me talk about this. Another fundamental truth about salvation or repentance and Christianity is that mighty works and miracle does not replace salvation. Mighty works, miracle, does not mean salvation.
and cannot replace it. So let's quickly look at this. Look at Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 13. Now, Jesus was addressing a critical issue here. You know, the Bible says he was not able to do much miracle in his own town, among his own people, because of their unbelief. Are we together? Now, in those places, he was able to do miracles and whatever. Eventually, he find out that though he did miracle in their midst, but their heart is not with him. So let's read. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which has been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which had exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despises you, despises me, and he that despises me, despises you. I'm looking for somewhere now. Okay. Let me just stop because of time. Because I actually want to eat something today before we close. So the point is, when you read down, then you find out that Jesus was addressing the fact that even though there are mighty works did in these cities, in these places, yet the issue of salvation is not there. Are we together, please? So that you see mighty works, miracles, signs and wonder, you know, people gathering, you know, and all manners of, you know, great things, does not mean that is salvation. So today, according to the word of the Lord, this anointing coming upon us is going to bring us promotion to a new level. But you know what? Never take that as salvation. Don't take that as salvation. Now, still on fundamental truths about repentance and Christianity, I will just mention 3 more points to make 10 points, and I will push to another subheading. Number 8. Thank you for following me. Number 8. Titles and services in the church are not salvation. Write it down. All that you do, all of our services, all of those, before God, it's not about height, it's not about your human ability, it's all about what, please? The state of your heart. The state of your heart. So whatever God has promised you, God is ready to do it. The Bible says God is not slack concerning his promises. He will bring it to pass. But the reason why he's delaying is that he wants you to get it right, to come to repentance, to ensure that your salvation is intact. So I would like to stop here. Next week, we will start looking at why repentance, why salvation, why. Remember, scripture says, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, 24. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we begin to look at that. Why salvation? Then we also try to answer the question Jesus brought to Nicodemus when he told him. When Nicodemus asked Jesus, what does it mean to be born again? So we want to look at that. And how can this thing be? You remember Nicodemus was asking all of that. How can this thing be? So we will be looking at each of that. Then we'll be looking at how you can experience salvation. So these are the things we'll be looking at. And if time permits, we'll be looking at the fact that And for some of us, we find it difficult to share our salvation experience to others for one reason. Because we don't have what is called the assurance of salvation. The assurance of salvation. Now, if you don't have assurance of salvation, then there will be a condemnation in your heart. Oh God, you don't qualify to preach it. You don't qualify to tell about Jesus to others. So we'll be looking at all of it's a series. So, and we'll be going steadily as the Lord will permit us. Is that all right? Are you blessed today? Are you really blessed today? So let's go get the oil. Please stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. So, what is it you have to settle before the Lord in your heart? Go and start settling before the oil comes, so that the oil